The interest in local food systems, like farmers markets and direct farm-to-consumer sales, is on the rise. But the U.S. is still more reliant on imported foods than ever before. Harvest Public Media's Molly Ashford is kicking off a series of stories about local food by asking why our food travels so far to get to our plate.
It's nearing 100 degrees outside of Grand Island, Nebraska, but Billy Ward is decked out in a heavy coat and hat. Ward is the manager of one of five Lineage cold storage facilities in Nebraska. He is walking me through a blast freezer, the coldest part of the 250,000-square-foot warehouse.
In this room right here, it's negative 20.
Almost all of the product stored at this particular facility is beef from nearby packing plants. It stays fresh here, and then it's shipped around the world.
For instance, today we have two Ivory Coast going out. We have an Egypt. We have a Korea. We also do Vietnam.
Imported food also sits in warehouses just like this one before heading to U.S. grocery stores. Cold storage facilities and refrigerated trucks make up what's known as the cold chain. That's the network of temperature-controlled storage and transport services that keep perishable foods fresh. Industry groups estimate that up to 70% of all food consumed in the U.S. interacts with the cold chain. Sarah Stickler, the CEO of the Global Cold Chain Alliance, says most people don't think about how their food travels.
When we talk about kind of farm to table, whether that be protein, whether that be harvest, you know, it's coming from a farm and it's going through a process. And most of the time that process includes cold storage.
The cold chain makes agricultural trade possible. And in recent years, the U.S. has become increasingly reliant on imported food, particularly fruits and vegetables. Luis Ribera, who researches North American trade at Texas A&M University, says that's led to a growing agricultural trade deficit. The U.S. Department of Agriculture estimates it could reach nearly $50 billion in the current fiscal year.
There's a reason why we have a trade deficit, because we consume a lot more products and we have more purchasing power than the neighboring country.
59% of fruits and 35% of fresh vegetables purchased by U.S. consumers are imported from other countries, according to the USDA. Ribera says the deficit is increasing because the products imported to the U.S. are worth more than what we export.
Fruits and vegetables are more expensive than cotton and sorghum and wheat, for example.
That's led some people to ask if the U.S. could become more self-reliant in growing its own produce. Chad Hart, an agronomist with Iowa State University, said the answer is sometimes an obvious no.
We're bringing in things like papayas and mango and, you know, a lot of fruits and vegetables that realistically, we can't grow here.
Hart says the land and climate simply isn't suitable for growing things like bananas or coffee on a large scale. If farmers shifted priorities, they could hypothetically grow more specialty crops like berries or garlic or squash. But Hart says it's often more profitable to stick to one or two crops. And in the Midwest, that's typically corn and soybeans.
These crops are offering the most opportunities to gain markets and to be profitable for farmers.
In the produce section of this grocery store in Omaha, Nebraska, customers pick up products from all over the U.S. and the world. Cherries from Washington, apples from California, and tomatoes from Mexico. Hart says people in the U.S. have grown accustomed to getting the produce they want when they want it.
If U.S. consumers want bananas from Panama, well then, by God, grocery stores will figure out how to get bananas from Panama.
No matter the season or how far it had to travel. I'm Molly Ashford, Harvest Public Media.
This story is part of Food Routes, a new series from Harvest Public Media about local food. Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms in the Midwest and Great Plains.